In the Bible, we see the exhortation for Christians to practice spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines of the faith. And I'm sure some of us have read books on prayer and study of the Word, reading of the Word, praise and worship. Meditation is a spiritual discipline, often neglected. Faithful attendance, and not just attendance, but attentive attendance to a church. Fasting, another one of those spiritual disciplines. You know, some of these disciplines come easier to us than others. There are some that we like more than others. But it's very important. One thing is for sure, that all these disciplines be practiced on a regular basis, especially if they are commandments of the Lord. All these disciplines strengthen our life of faith. They keep us from departing from the living God. To walk closer to the Lord, that's what we do when we practice these disciplines. They're meant to bring us into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. There is one spiritual discipline that often goes unmentioned, and it is really important that we name it, that we don't lump it in with some other discipline. I taught this certain topic in the year 2005. I looked back on the website, and it was in 2005 I shared on this, and I want to share on it again because it is absolutely very relevant, especially in the times that we are living in. It's something that needs to be practiced constantly in order to be in right standing with God and His Word. And that is our goal. We want to be in conformity to the truth. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what people say. All that matters is what God says in His Word, and that we live in conformity to what He says. Amen? And we want to be on the Lord's side. And there are two sides. We want to be on the Lord's side. And if you desire to have a part, you want to have a share in the first resurrection in Revelation 20, verse 6, you need this discipline in your life. You need this in your experience as a Christian. And it can be guaranteed that those prophetic Christians that we read about in Revelation 20, verse 4, that are beheaded for their stand and for their non-compromise of the Word of God and for their love of Jesus Christ, you better believe that they understood what I'm going to speak about today. And they were prepared and ready to do what they did in Revelation 20, verse 4. In fact, John calls what I'm talking about. Let me just say this. The only way to receive what John calls a full reward is to be someone who practices this discipline. Well, let's read 2 John 8. 2 John 8. John says, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves. The command in this verse can easily go unnoticed if we're not careful in our reading, and that's why we need to read the Bible very carefully, and I know most of us do. It is a key spiritual discipline right here in this verse, something that many purposely avoid, especially the carnal man. He doesn't like what I'm going to share this morning. Your flesh will not, my flesh will not like what I'm going to share this morning. The command in this verse is look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. It doesn't say look to your brother. It doesn't say look to your sister in the Lord and see how they are doing and see what they are not doing. But it says clearly, look to yourselves. The word look means to weigh very carefully to examine, to analyze carefully, to consider, contemplate, reflect on yourself. The word look is an action verb, and it's in the present tense. It's in the active voice. This is something the subject must produce, an action that the subject must produce. And he has to do this all the time. It's a continuous tense. It's a habit, a lifestyle. It's in the imperative mood. It means it's a command. We are commanded to constantly, as a habit, as a lifestyle, to be examining and considering ourselves. This is called self-examination. Self-judgment. The Scripture demands self-examination. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Judge all things." That includes yourself. Examine all things. Hold fast to that which is good. We're supposed to examine ourselves every time we meet and have the Lord's table. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Clear, isn't it? Clear. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. We are to consider ourselves this morning, lest thou also be tempted. So when we restore someone that has fallen away, we don't restore them in a self-righteous, egotistic manner. But what are we to do? When we see someone that fell, man, what should we do? Look to ourselves. Consider ourselves. That's what we should do. When we see someone fall away from our membership, we should consider ourselves. We should be considering ourselves. I love A.W. Pink when he talks about self-examination. A true knowledge of ourselves cannot be acquired without diligent and frequent self-examination. To this duty, there exists in human nature a strong repugnance, so that by most it is greatly neglected. But when it is attempted, we are in much danger of being misled by self-love and prejudice. To acquire any true knowledge of ourselves, a good degree of honesty and impartiality is essentially requisite. But an honest desire to arrive at the truth is not the only prerequisite to self-knowledge. The mind must be enlightened in regard to the standard of rectitude to which we ought to be conformed. The Word of God should dwell richly in us, and by its principles and precepts we must form all sentiments respecting ourselves. Very clear. One of the dangers of self-examination is our own love for ourselves. No man, Paul says, has ever hated his own flesh. So we have a tendency to judge ourselves in a very merciful fashion. But we have a great tendency to judge others without mercy. Merciless. So true. Maybe you don't do that. But I've been there. I've done that. Then I thought about it and I said, wait a minute. What about myself? Self-examination is a reflective examination of who we are. Who are you? And what we are doing. What are we doing in life? Self-examination is a spiritual practice that challenges us to be honest and objective take an objective look. Stand back from ourselves and look at ourselves. Objectively. I know that's difficult to do. Again, self-love comes in. Prejudice comes in. We have a prejudice toward ourselves. To look at our spiritual condition at this moment. To take an inventory. To measure where we are with the Lord or where we should be with the Lord. Are we living in conformity to what we know to be true in the Word of God? A.W. Pink, self-knowledge is that acquaintance with ourselves which reveals to us what we are and do, and what we ought to be and do in order to our living, usefully here and happily hereafter. The means of it is self-examination in the light of Holy Scripture. The purpose of it is self-government. And he quotes, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life," in Proverbs 4:23. Self-examination should have a result. It should have some kind of production that is positive, a benefit that is positive, if you do it right. When was the last time you paused in life and really examined yourself spiritually? Asking yourself, how am I doing? Is God pleased? You think about it. You know, if we don't pause and examine ourselves, how do we know that we're even headed in the right direction? Are we really on the right track in life? Do we need to make adjustments? Have we repented enough? Have I offended anyone? Why am I offended? Questions. Does your experience line up with the Holy Word of God? Self-examination is done in the light of God's Word. Why? Because that is where God's thoughts are. That's where it's located. God's thoughts are located in His Word. And that is the means in which we judge ourselves. We don't judge ourselves with our own standard, with our own introspection and own beliefs and prejudice. This is not self-discovery, as some New Agers or self-help books have out there in self-improvement land. But this is discovery of what God says about us. It's honesty. And also, it's not asking God to examine us, as David did in Psalm 26:2. He said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart." In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, he said, "Search me." What prayers, though? What boldness? You better, if you pray these prayers, you better watch out. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way of everlasting." I'm not talking about this kind of prayer today. J.C. Ryle says this, "Is it not astonishing that we should go on repeating periodically, 'Search me, O God, and know my thoughts,' yet neglect to examine ourselves? Is there not something more like defiance than devotion to invite the inspection of omniscience to that heart? Is there not something more like defiance than devotion to invite the inspection of omniscience to that heart which we ourselves neglect to inspect? How can any of us as Christians solemnly cry out to God, 'Search me, O God, and know my heart, test me and know my thoughts'? Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life, while we neglect to examine our hearts and are afraid of testing our thoughts, dreading to ask if there be any way of wickedness in us, knowing that the inquiry ought to lead to the expulsion of sin. So true. J.C. Ryle saying, what's the use in praying, God, search me, examine me, when I won't even examine myself? I won't even be honest with myself. Said all that mystical Christianity will get us in trouble. The duty of self-examination is our responsibility. It's about you looking at yourself through the Word of God. This is our work. This is our diligence. Not something that God does. And we're commanded to do this. Why? So we don't lose out on a full reward. Self-examination can keep us away from wandering from the faith. You think people that wandered away from the faith, you think they practiced a life of self-examination? You think they took spiritual inventory to find out where they were? No way. You think someone that got into adultery, someone that cheated, someone that lies, that they take spiritual inventory? No way. No way. This is how important this subject is. It's expedient that we realize how important it is to examine our own ways. Keeping ourselves in proper relationship with God. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes diligence. We need to be honest. We need to be open, candid, frank. Many times God says the same thing to His people. Haggai 1:5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. The Lord wants His people always to be considering. To be considering their ways, because it's easy to be like those described in Proverbs 2 verse 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So the Lord wants His people to look, to observe, to stand back, examine, consider the path that you are taking. Jeremiah 6:16. The Lord said to His people. Notice that. The Lord said to His people, you are standing at the crossroads, so consider your path. Ask where the old reliable paths are. Ask where the path is that leads to blessing and follow it. If you do, you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not follow it. Israel would not consider. Israel would not examine. And due to Israel and also Judah's refusal to examine themselves in the light of the commandments of God, the law, both of them were taken into captivity. Isaiah 1:3, the ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. They go on as though everything is okay. Right? When Jeremiah, Isaiah, and the prophets came to Israel, Why are you telling us this? We're fine. We're doing okay. We're doing good. They thought they had no need to consider their path. I mean, if a person's sick, unless he realizes he's sick, he's not going to go to the doctor. Therefore, they would not examine their lives in order to see where they were with the Lord. Jeremiah the prophet cried out in Lamentations 3, verse 40 and 41, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." The context here is the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is calling the people to examine their lives, to make changes necessary to be faithful to God. And this, as you can see here in this verse, this is not a superficial look. It is a search. And that implies a careful, attentive looking. I did that this morning. I was searching for my son's glasses. And I didn't find them. I searched. I tipped over things. It wasn't like, okay, they're not here. And I walked away. I scurried around fast, uncovered covers and towels and clothes and toys and everything, and looking for glasses, and didn't find them. So that's what search means. When we examine ourselves, it's not a quick surface scan, a shallow manner. Because we'll never truly see ourselves the way God wants us to see us. It means to test and prove our ways. You know, tests reveal where we are. You take a test to find out where you are. This is something that we do all through life. In order to get a driver's license, I don't know about here so much, but when I'm in America, in order to get a driver's license, I have to pass certain tests. They scrutinize me before they give me a license. In fact, I know not here they don't do that. As long as they have 5,000 rupees, they're okay. But are we qualified? That's what a test is given for. To find out whether we are qualified to get a job. If you take a test, you take a test to find out whether you're qualified for the job. How is this done? How is this self-examination usually done in our lives? You know how it's done? Asking hard questions. Probing questions. And you know what? Answering those questions honestly. How do we bear our trials? How do we bear our trials this week? Have you had any new challenges in your life? Any new phases in your life? I'm always going through these phases. Seems like they're never-ending phases. One is over and the new one comes. The ever-changing phases of life. And each one has their own demands. How are we doing in the shifting phases of life? Have I been lazy lately? Have I been idle with my time? I like what Charles Spurgeon says about self-examination in one of his sermons. "Examine yourselves. Go right through yourselves from beginning to end. Stand not only on the mountains of your public character, but go into the deep valleys of your private life. Be not content to sail on the broad river of your outward actions, but go follow back the narrow nil till you discover your secret motive. Look not only at your performance, which is but the product of the soil, but dig into your heart and examine the vital principle." Examine yourselves. This is a very big word. A word that needs thinking over. And I'm afraid there be very few, if any of us, who ever come to the full weight of this solemn exhortation, examine yourselves. Self-examination must be thorough. It must be thorough. Because there is a danger, as Pink said, of self-love and prejudice. And you know what that leads to? Self-deception about our own selves. Danger. We are to look at ourselves through the eyes of God. As if we were standing before Him on the day of judgment. Boy, when we bring that kind of a vision into our present life, Things begin to change if we really believe it. If we really can see and perceive. And we can't, obviously, there's no way that we possibly can see it the way we would like. But in a measure, if we could bring the day of judgment in every day life, our life would be different. 1 Corinthians 11:31, maybe that's why Paul said this. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It's the threat of a future judgment that motivates us to take heed now and thoroughly judge ourselves, examine ourselves, consider ourselves now. Do we live as people that are going to die and stand before God? I mean, we've got to die sometime. Thomas Watson, Puritan writer, along with Pink, and I don't think Pink was considered a Puritan, but I think he came later, but J.C. Ryle was Puritan, so was Thomas Watson. Self-examination is the setting up a court in conscience and keeping a register there, that by strict scrutiny, a man may know how things stand between God and his own soul. Self-examination is a spiritual inquisition, a bringing oneself to trial. I like that. Bringing oneself to trial. A good Christian doth, as it were, the day of judgment here in his own soul. Self-searching is heart anatomy. So true. So true. Bringing oneself to trial. I mean, you see a trial and someone's cross-examining someone. What are they asking? Questions. Where were you on the night of so-and-so? They ask you questions. They probe. To find out if you're really a good witness. Real, honest self-examination prepares us like nothing else. Oh, it prepares us. This discipline is specifically designed to promote spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, not condemnation. Don't be standing there and thinking, oh, I'm going to look inside and I'm going to see a sin and then I'm going to feel like depressed. Yes, you probably will. That's why people don't like to do this. But don't stand there and say, well, I'm just going to be depressed and, oh. No. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? 1 John 1:9. Go to the high priest. He's in the Holy of Holies today with his blood sacrifice. Spiritually speaking, he's in the heavens today. His blood has been shed for the forgiveness of sin. We don't have to walk around in some kind of condemnation, weird spirit. When we have guilt and it's bona fide, we need to confess it and get right. Not walk around in depression. That's what makes us different from those people on the outside that go to the psychiatrist and psychologist and take medication, all that stuff. We have the knowledge of God. We have the truth of God. God can't fellowship with sin. The sins need to be confessed. There are sins that need to be repented of. And that's why we probe. That's why we investigate. We want to clean the house out. Make sure there's no leaven in the house, right? A.W. Pink. The benefits of self-knowledge are too numerous for us to mention. We single out one. The man who knows himself best knows wherein he most needs to deny himself. That's so good. The man who knows himself best knows wherein he most needs to deny himself. It roots out. Self-examination roots out the hidden sins. It identifies sin. You know, we can't be into this blanket forgiveness. When I go to bed at night, forgive me of my sins today, God. You think that is a heart-changing prayer? You think that is examination before a holy God? You think that's what He's going to do when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Just look over, oh, I didn't see anything about it. There was something there, but I didn't see anything. Just a generalized surface look? No. He examines. He inspects. It's called the judgment. Puts us on trial. Tried by fire. Self-examination leads to repentance. It leads to forgiveness. It leads to a clean soul. It leads to personal revival. And that's what we all need to have every once in a while. We need personal, holy, old-fashioned revival. There needs to be a rekindling, a burning in our hearts for the Word of God. Every once in a while, the fire kind of grows a little dim. We need to throw some logs on the fire. I wish our fire was like a nuclear plant that could burn for hundreds and thousands of years. but it's not. Sometimes that light goes a little dim, and we've got to stoke the fire. Psalm 119:59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I thought on my ways. You think that's careful investigation, a careful thought. Psalm 119:59, I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to thy statutes. That's the NIV, by the way. Same verse, but the NIV. I like it says, I have considered my ways. Instead of saying, I thought on my ways, the NIV says, I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. It's not so important how we see ourselves apart from the Word of God. In fact, it's not important at all. And I could care less how other people see me in one sense, from one view. I know there's another view. Also, we want to make sure we're not stumbling blocks. I know the whole other side. But from one sense, I do what I can. And I can't make everybody happy by the way I live. But what's more important is what God thinks, how God sees us. It's so easy to justify our ways as being right when they're wrong. We are often so easily deceived in regarding our own sins. Many times we don't want to look at ourselves honestly in the light of God's Word because we are afraid what we're going to find. And you know what? This is what the Bible calls the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, it's deceitful. Hebrews 3:12-13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. Daily. I like that word, daily. While it is called today. You know, he said that today means the day before judgment. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's amazing at the lengths that we will go to justify ourselves, but yet at the same time we are quickly to condemn the same practices in the lives of others. According to Scriptures, a man usually thinks his way is the right way. And he thinks himself to be right. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Isn't that true? Isn't Proverbs so true? But we know from Scripture that a man's way, apart from God, though it might seem right, is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. He thinks it's right. He's proud about it. He thinks he's found the right way. But the end thereof are the ways of death. It seemed right to the man, but he did not consider, he did not examine his own self according to the Word of God. He did not ask tough questions to himself. And his end was the way of death. We have to make sure that we don't overestimate ourselves. Oftentimes we have a tendency to overestimate our wisdom, overestimate our strength and goodness, overestimate our own personal sacrifices. Our pride keeps us from admitting our sins, and it won't allow us to engage in careful self-examination. Proverbs 30, verse 12, there is a generation that is pure in their own eyes. Isn't there a generation like that? Oh yeah. Many people today, they live and do things that are absolutely contrary to the Bible, absolutely contrary to the commandments of Scripture. But if you ask them, are you a Christian? They say, yes, I'm a Christian. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They're not washed from their filthiness. They can confess it all they want to, but they're not washed from their filthiness. Luke 16:15, Jesus said to them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Oh man, Jesus was tough. Not many people are going to want to go down the road of true, honest self-examination. It's a lonely road. It's a straight gate. It's a narrow path. They just don't want to be honest with themselves. And yes, there are times when we begin to examine our lives and we feel discouraged, we feel defeated, we feel disheartened, because it hurts to find the truth about ourselves sometimes. One writer said, it is one of the supreme tragedies of religion that so many of us think so highly of ourselves when the evidence lies all on the other side. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. I don't need self-examination. I'm okay. One of the greatest secrets of staying in the will of God, keeping yourself from getting off track, is never overestimate yourself. It's so easy to come to church, hear a sermon, read the Bible, and say, boy, so-and-so needs to hear this. I wish so-and-so was here. Boy, if they would have heard this one. How much harder is it for, for us to let the Word of God rebuke us. To change us and turn us from our sins. Jesus made it very clear that we are first to look to ourselves, not to others in the church. First examine our own lives. In Matthew 7, verse 3 to 5. Before we start judging others, we got to make sure we clean house. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. See what happens when we don't examine our own lives? We become self-righteous hypocrites. And we become over-judgmental of other people's lives. When I know when I haven't done self-examination, when I start being overly critical of other people, if that's always the top of my conversation, then you need to do some spiritual inventory. That's a sign that you need to start looking to yourself. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. It is so clear here that Jesus honors judgment that looks inward first to oneself before it looks outward to others. Let us ask ourselves the question, what does God say to me? Before I ask myself, what does God say to my neighbor? A.W. Pink, the more ignorant we are of ourselves, the readier we are to condemn others. Isn't that true? The more ignorant we are of ourselves, the readier we are to condemn others. But the better acquainted we are with ourselves, the slower shall we be in rashly censoring others for the same crimes of which we are guilty. Oh man, I love that kind of writing. This is stuff we should be reading. This is kind of A.W. Pink, Ryle. I know some of Pink's doctrine is kind of strange, but on the practical stuff, he had some good things to say. Got to eat the chicken and throw away the bones, as they always say. The Apostle Paul warned us about judging others and how dangerous it can be in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Oh man. No, you won't escape the judgment of God. If we really want to be right with the Lord, we need to take time to reflect, to examine ourselves. I mean, even the Greek philosophers, for crying out loud, knew this to be true. Plato said this, "The unexamined life is not worth living." One Christian writer said this about the Greek philosophers and their understanding of self-examination. "The practice of self-examination, therefore, is not distinctive of Christianity. It is an obvious dictate of wisdom. Wherever life and conduct are regarded seriously, that a man should from time to time take stock of himself in the light of his ideas and learn to know and recognize in detail where and how he has fallen short. And what are the besetting sins and weaknesses against which he must contend?" Good stuff. I was thinking how foolish it is to gamble on an unexamined life. And one writer says, it's like not making sure that your parachute is properly examined when you jump out of an airplane. I mean, how many people would do that? Not examine a parachute before they jumped out of an airplane? That would be the most insane, stupid thing in the world. It is our duty to put our motives, to put our attitudes, to put our actions under the bar of God. Let us search our ways. Let us find out matters that stand between ourselves and God. Paul said in Galatians 6:3-5, "For if any man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." See, we're nothing. Don't ever think you're something. You understand? Don't believe the self-esteem stuff. You are nothing. Absolutely nothing this morning. That's from the Bible. That's from God. In fact, many times the writers of the Bible call you but dust. Let each one examine his own work. How about that? Let each one examine his own work. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Verse 5, "For each one shall bear his own load." I like the basic Bible English translation, "Let every man make test of his work." King James says, "Let every man prove his own work." The NCV says, "Each man should judge his own actions." And the Weymouth translation says, "But let every man scrutinize his own conduct." Paul emphasized the need for self-examination when he wrote to the Corinthian church. Boy, there were some people in that church that needed to self-examine their lives. You read that, the problems that were going on in the church at Corinth. He said, "Examine yourselves." In 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves, judge yourselves, whether you be in the faith." Man, Paul was questioning whether some of them were even in the faith. Don't tell me I'm not an apostle. The way you're living, you better examine and find out whether you are even in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Know ye not who you are? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Three times in the same verse, he says, "yourselves, yourselves, yourselves." I mean, that's there for what? An emphasis. We are to examine and prove, to know something about ourselves. Are we in the faith? Is Jesus Christ in you? Are you a reprobate? You see, self-examination is when we ask ourselves questions. We inquire of ourselves. This is self-knowledge. But we must understand and never forget this about self-examination. It's not about our feelings. It's not about our opinions. It's not what others say about us. But it's God's Word and what it says. God is our guide, and man cannot guide himself. Man was not meant to guide himself. God is our guide. And we examine ourselves and we ask questions in light of the Holy Word of God. In Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." Proverbs 20:24, "A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way?" Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's Word exposes our inadequacies and tells us who we are. It corrects, it changes our thoughts, and in turn, that affects our behavior. I love Psalm 119:9-11. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" That's the question that's asked. How shall a man cleanse his way? taking heed thereunto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. It's the word. It's the word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, a judge, a critic, an analyzer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to make it clear this morning. When we examine ourselves, it's not examining ourselves with our own feelings. It's not discovery of self. When we examine ourselves, the Word of God must be open. It must be the standard. And God's Word will expose our faults. It will expose sins that we have not repented of. And will teach us to deal with them. And how to deal with them. Every single disciple of Jesus Christ, every single day, should examine himself. We should become perfectly acquainted with our own behavior. And you know what? It takes passion. It takes zeal to want to examine oneself. It takes diligence on our part to want to be right in the eyes of Almighty God. You think it's just going to happen? No. By default, you will not be right with God. It takes diligence to be right with God. To neglect this one spiritual discipline is very dangerous. True dangers in an unexamined life. In closing this morning, self-examination must produce a result. If we don't willingly respond with a good and honest heart, then it's all a waste. You know what? We don't need to have doubts about our walk with God. Suspicions about our own walk with God. We don't want to live in vain imaginations. We don't want to have a false security. And as I said last week, there are certain people that have what I call, and what others call, fire insurance. And they've added Jesus to their life because He's the fire insurance. And that's all He is. He's an insurance policy. They think that they can go ahead and live the way they want to and escape the fire because they have professed Jesus at one time. We don't want to live in dishonesty or denial. Regular self-examination is a proven way to make sure that we can have confidence in our walk. No suspicion, no doubt. Living in the light. Living honestly. Living in the truth. Paul had this. Paul had confidence. Why? Because he was someone who examined his life. He did it on a regular basis, I guarantee you. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know, he said, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, he said, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Are those confident words? Are those words of confidence? Paul speaks of his accomplishments and how he ran the course of his life, the way he knew that was pleasing to God. Paul didn't say, I'm getting ready to die here. I wonder if I lived my life in a way that was pleasing to God. I better take an inventory here. No, he had been doing that all his life. And when we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, he wasn't taking inventory. He knew. He expected. His hope was sure. I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I kept it. I pleased God with my life. That's what faith does. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Boy, that's arrogance, huh? No. Spiritual confidence because the man kept an inventory. The most important thing, his ambition, was to be pleasing. Was to be pleasing to God in 2 Corinthians 5:9. That was his ambition. His ambition in life was to be pleasing to God. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them, that's us, also that love His appearing. That live the life of faith. Look forward to His appearing. Live like there is going to be an appearing. Right? That's faith, right? Paul said in closing again, coming in for my second closing, 2 Timothy 2:15, give diligence to present thyself approved unto God. See that? You think we're just going to be approved before God because we professed and raised our hand, walked down an aisle, joined the church, got baptized? No. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God. That tells us something, right? People can't just say, I'm going to be approved of God if they're not diligent, right? We have to make our calling and election what? Sure. Right? And by how? Diligence. 2 Peter 1:10. I'll close with this quotation. I don't know who it's by. I don't care. It's all God's people and God's work. It's God who gives people knowledge. God so desires that we look into ourselves. It is one thing for someone else to point out our inconsistencies, but think about the change that can come by a person who is willing to deal with his own inadequacies without having to have someone else expose them for him. There is a great purpose in being honest with oneself in order to correct your own flaws. So true. So true. Let us close here. Dear God, we thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word. And we pray that You bless our time with our conversation that follows on this most important subject. In Jesus' name, amen.